God, lift your hands to heaven as the man of God comes. We will leave the video introduction for tomorrow. I don't feel led to have it played now. The King of Glory is here. I won't have any other introduction tonight, tomorrow. Lift your hands. My Kaya Daba Sawa Tilemene. My words are not enough. Vocabularies will fail. Permit me to cry. Ibaho, 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 Ibaho.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. We're going to pray two scriptures before we sit. Psalms 144, 7 and 8. I'd like us to read it together and then we'll pray. Psalm 144. We'll read verse 7 and 8. Ready? One to read. Send thine hand from above. Read me and deliver me out of great waters, from the hand of the strange children. Next verse. Whose mouth speak vanity. Your prayer is verse 7. One more time. No. Send thine hand from above. Read me. Deliver me out of great waters. Go ahead and pray. And say, Father, tonight, by your hand, send me deliverance, send me help out of great waters, financial waters, waters of infirmity. Someone is praying. By your hand. By your hand. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. One more scripture, Psalm 31:15. Psalm 31 verse 15, we're still praying. Can we read together? One to read. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from them that persecute me. Lift your voice and pray. Father, I cry for deliverance. My times, my days, that includes my today, that includes my tomorrow. Someone is praying. My times are in your hands. For in Jesus' name we pray. Tonight is going to be a prayer meeting, and so we'll be doing a lot of prayers. But just help me honor my dear friend and brother, Pastor Nath. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. And his dear wife. Give them a big God bless you. It's my joy to be here. Speak to us tonight, O God, and cause our hearts to be of understanding. Indeed, may your hand rest upon us. Work wonders in our midst, and to Jesus be all the glory. Amen and amen. Please be seated. Please be seated. We're going to pray. We'll do a lot of prayer tonight. And I know that God has been speaking, building us in the course of this conference. But what stops your prayer? Please listen. What stops your prayer from being prayer that is amiss? Is the spiritual intelligence connected to your prayer? Are we together? You are always praying amiss if your prayer is not word compliant. What gives value to prayer is not the energy that is dissipated, but the word compliancy. That means if you are praying and your prayer is not from a standpoint of spiritual intelligence, and your prayer is not from a standpoint of the word, you may be dissipating sincere energy, but you are praying amiss. Hallelujah. So the course of the teaching is to give us a guide as we pray. And if and when I request that we rise to pray, please participate very fully in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, the hand of God, I'll go straight to the point. The hand of God, the Bible is a very interesting capture, because the Bible is a literary material. That means a piece of literature. When you read, there are even books that are theologically called poetic books. Are we together? The Bible is also an archaeological material. That means that you can look through the Bible and have historic information. There are people who are not Christians, but they have made reference to the Bible in preparing their thesis and, you know, their PhD materials. The Bible contains principles that are a revelation of God's modus operandi. So every time you open your Bible to study, you must be aware of all of these things. There are times that statements in the Bible are literal. There are times statements in the Bible are figurative. There are times statements in the Bible are prophetic. Are we together? This is very important. And until we understand this, you may not appreciate what we're dealing with, because it was in the character of God in those days to speak to the prophets in types and shadows. He says, I have spoken in similitudes to the prophets. I have multiplied visions. So God would use similitudes. Are we together? Yes. One of such is this mysterious concept of the hand of God. What exactly is the hand of God? I wrote here that the hand of God is a figurative expression. Watch this now. That always describes the power of God when it is in motion. Not the power of God when it is inert. Because it is possible for the power of God to be in a place and yet the effect is not felt. I think that should be Luke 5:17. The Bible says Jesus entered into the synagogue. Let's try that scripture. Luke 5:17. Jesus entered into the synagogue, and as he was teaching, the Bible says that the power of the Lord was present, but it never touched anyone. It was present. It was there. Are we together now? So when we talk about the hand of God, it is an expression that describes the power of God when in motion. When God's power is made manifest in the midst of his people and across the earth, we refer to it as the hand of God. In Habakkuk chapter 3, when you read 3 and verse 4, are we together already? Habakkuk 3, 3 and 4. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. The Bible says his glory covered the heavens and the earth was full of his praise. Verse 2 says, and his brightness was as the light, and he had horns coming out of his hands, and there in that hand was the hiding place of his power. So when we talk about the hand of God, we're talking about the power of God that is made manifest in the earth, is made manifest in a life, made manifest in a destiny. Now, the hand of God also describes the engracing that comes upon a believer for extraordinary exploits. You have to understand this. So there are two dimensions to the hand of God. There is the hand of God as his power made manifest. But there is a hand of God as a supernatural engracing that comes upon the believer. And when it rests upon you in that similitude, your life will be always extraordinary, always supernatural. Is that someone's testimony? In the name of Jesus. So the hand of God is God's power at work, and the hand of God also refers to the anointing upon. Are we together now? The anointing upon is what they call the hand of God, the engracing of God upon the believer in the New Testament. Two scriptures. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 14. I always like people to have understanding of scripture, because it is from the standpoint of intelligence that you are able to command victory in prayer and then in your destiny pursuit. It says, "So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness and in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me." The hand of the Lord insisted upon me. The ability to be taken in the spirit was because the hand of the Lord, there was an engracing that came upon him. Ezekiel 37 verse 1, popular scripture. 37 and verse 1, Ezekiel. Please give it to us. "So the hand of the Lord was upon me again." You now see? Same Ezekiel, same experience. "And he carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones." So every time the Bible talks about the hand of God, let me repeat again for your understanding. Number one, it refers to the power of God made manifest. When the power of God is at work, when the power of God is in motion, it's called the hand of God. And then number two, the power of God also refers, it describes the engracing that comes upon the believer for extraordinary exploits. There is nowhere in scripture where you see the manifestation of the hand of God without performance. Every time you see the hand of God, there is no silence. There will always be a manifestation. Are we together? This is very important. Let's talk a bit about the hand of God. What does the Bible say about the hand of God? Can we consider a few scriptures? Number one, the Bible lets us know that creation and sustenance is by the hand of God. Be ready to consider a few scriptures. Number one, creation and sustenance is by the hand of God. Isaiah 48:13. Creation and sustenance. We're examining from scripture the implication. What does the Bible have to say about the hand of God? Here's what the Bible says. "My hand had also laid the foundations of the earth, and my right hand had spanned the heavens. When I call them, they stand together." This is God for you. The hand of God is responsible for creation. Creation not just of the earth, of your destiny, of your life, of the things that should be and are not yet are. As I begin to show you this scripture, your faith must be positioned, because whatever the hand of God did before, it must do today in someone's life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Can we consider another scripture? Psalms 95 verse 4 and 5. Psalm 95 verse 4 and 5. Let's read together. Ready? One, to read. "In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills are his also." Next verse, please. "The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land." The hand of God. Let's consider one last scripture. Job 12 verse 10. What does the Bible say about the hand of God? The Bible says that creation and sustenance is by his hand. "In whose hand is the soul of every living thing, and all the breath of all mankind, including your enemies." So anybody who makes a boast should realize that his hand, in the midst of that pride, is in the hand of God. His entire life. And that God can do whatever. Listen to what he said. "In whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath." Woe betides a man who God closes his hands against. Do you believe scripture? The faith of the believer is only built on truth that comes from scripture. There is no other information outside of scripture that can build the believer's faith. "In whose hand is the soul of every living thing." So when someone says, "Except I don't wake up, you will not enjoy," tell him, what a statement. The psalmist said, I lay me down and I slept. He said, the reason I waked was because the Lord sustained me. Not because it was morning. Because there are people who sleep in the night and don't wake up in the morning. It is only God that wakes men, including those who plan to do evil. It's God that wakes them to have the idea to even continue. This is how powerful God is. Are we together? Number two, what does the Bible say about the hand of God? Faith is rising in someone. Faith is rising in someone. In the name of Jesus Christ, faith is rising in someone. God protects by his hand. This is the second thing the Bible says about the hand of God. John 10:29. I like this. God protects, oh, he protects by his hand. John 10:29. My Father which gave them me is greater than how many? Whether they like you or not, my Father who gave them me is greater than all. It says, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. They may remove you from the office, but not from the Father's hand. Are we together? Have you seen a farmer hold a seed? He takes that seed anywhere he wants. No one is able to pluck Joshua Selman out of my Father's hand. You think I'll call your name? No, sir. It's too early to call your name. In the name of Jesus, no man is able to pluck Joshua Selman out. No man. Not by wizardry. Not by evil. Jealously protected by the hand of God. No man. So when the hand of God comes to you, protection has come. Isaiah 41:10. Isaiah 41:10. Don't be tired of scripture. So this is where your strength lies. This is where intelligence in the spirit lies. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, Joshua Selman, for I am your God. I will strengthen thee. How? I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I will uphold you. I will uphold you. That's what God is doing for someone. I will uphold you. So the Bible teaches us that God protects by his hand. Number three, are we learning? God executes judgment by the power of his hand. The meting out of judgment over the enemy, over the wicked, is by the hand of God. Isaiah 19:16. Isaiah 19:16. In that day shall Egypt be like unto women, and it shall be afraid and fear because of the shaking of the hand of the Lord of hosts, which he shaketh over it. Do you know what this means? That God decides to wave his hand over Egypt. And the Bible says that effect will make people tremble like a woman who has lost her sense of security. God executes judgment. Zephaniah 1:4. Zephaniah 1:4. Some of you don't read that part of the Bible. Zephaniah 1:4. Look for it. Are you ready? And I will stretch out my hand upon Judah. And upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place. And the name of the Chemarims and the priests, I will cut them away all by my hand. I will stretch out my hand. In the course of prayer we are going to pray, there are people who will receive the visitation, the judgment dimension of God's hand. That everything that has vowed that we will not let you go, if he survived January till November at this Oasis conference, and in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord of Sabaoth, the one whose name we have called, he will stretch his hand so mighty and bring judgment upon the wicked. In the name of Jesus. Amos 9:2. My security is based on the word. My confidence, my understanding is derived from the word. Are we together? Let's read this as loud as you can, please. Ready? One, two, read. Though they dig into hell, then
Hence, my hand shall take them. Though they climb up to heaven, I will bring them down. My hand is that long. If you hide in Hades, I will reach down and bring you. If you are up there in pride, I will bring you down. A man who has a God who has a hand that long, you should respect him. Where can I hide from your presence? That means wherever you are, God can pick you from Lagos. He can pick you from a village somewhere and relocate you properly. Is someone hearing? So do not be surprised that you are spending November in Nigeria and March will be somewhere else. When they ask you how you got there, if you say you entered an aircraft, it may be a wrong answer. The hand of God, long enough to pick you. Long enough to pick you. Listen, do not be surprised that tonight you are here in Lagos and by tomorrow you are in the midst of people. You ask yourself, how did I get here? If they ask you, say the hand of God. How did you get to a business meeting without being qualified there? You tell them, my God, he picked me and dropped me there. Someone pray, say, Father. Shout it loud, say, Father. May your hand relocate me to the place of destiny. Open your mouth and pray in 1 minute. Pray. May your hand pick me. If I jump, I will not reach there. If I roll, I may not reach there. May your hand pick me. 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 Someone pray. May your hand pick my certificate. May your hand pick me to the right place, to the right people. Go ahead, you are praying. Hallelujah. Now watch this. Watch this. Before you sit down, the Bible says if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, hold on. Mountain, move. Who do you think takes it when you speak? Who carries that mountain from where it is an interruption and throws it into the sea? Can we pray that prayer? Father, every mountain standing before me, standing before my destiny, may your hand pick it in judgment. Take it away from my life. Go ahead and pray. Someone is praying. May your hand pick it in judgment. May your hand pick it in judgment. Every mountain, mountains of shame, disappointment, pick it in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Please be seated. Number 4. What does the Bible say about the hand of God? I've not started my preaching, no. I'm only telling you what the Bible says. If I end with what the Bible says, I will preach tomorrow. What does the Bible say about the hand of God? The Bible tells us that redemption and deliverance is also by his hand. God redeems by his hand. Nehemiah 1:10. God redeems by his hand. Give it to us, please. Now, these are thy servants. That includes Joshua Selman. And your people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and thy strong hand. These are the ones. I'm the one you have shown mercy. You have shown me mercy. Listen. Keep this scripture. Let me explain to you what he's saying. He said, now these are your servants. There are certain people when you see, you wonder and marvel. How come their life has experienced so much deliverance and redemption? He says it is by the great power of God. These are they Not everybody, some trust in horses and chariots. But there are a kind of people when you see, you will know that it's the redemption of God that has come. And that by his hand. These are they. Redemption. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 8. These are the arsenals, ladies and gentlemen, upon which the believer's victory lies. These scriptures that I'm showing you. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath he has sworn to your fathers, the Lord had brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen and from the hand of Pharaoh. Redemption. 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 Because he swore that he would do this. His hand came to honor that oath. And he brought you out and redeemed you out of the house. Classical King James would say, out of the house of bondage and out of Pharaoh's house, even the king of Egypt. Redemption is by. Can I give you one more scripture? Psalm 138, verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou will revive me. And thou stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of my enemy, and thy right hand shall save me. Say redemption and deliverance by his hand. Can I give you number 5? What does the Bible say about the hand of God? God strengthens by his hand. When men are weak, God brings his hand to strengthen them. Psalm 89, verse 20 and 21. God strengthens by his hand. I have found David my servant. Watch this. With my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established, and my arm shall also strengthen him. My arm, my hand shall strengthen him. In 1 Kings chapter 18, popular scripture, I believe that should be verse 46 or so. The Bible says, and the hand of the Lord. 1 Kings 18, 46. And the hand of the Lord was upon Joshua Selman. And he girded his loins and ran before Ahab. The hand of the Lord was upon Elijah, it says. He girded his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. The hand of God can come upon people. That for someone, December can be January to November combined in terms of impact, because the hand of the Lord strengthened you. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? Let me give you number 6. What does the Bible say about the hand of God? Are you tired of writing? That's how you'll be writing your testimonies. I say it again. That is how you'll be writing your testimonies. Men will say, are you the only one? Then you will tell them, this is how I took these many scriptures to produce these many testimonies. May it be your testimony. Number 6. What does the Bible say about the hand of God? God lifts and exalts by his hand. I like this one. God lifts and exalts by his hand. Who is the lifter speaking about? God lifts and exalts. God lifts and exalts by his hand. 1 Chronicles 29. We'll read 11 and 12. Read it as though God is speaking to you, please. Are you ready? 1, 2, read, please. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Verse 12. Both riches and honor come from thee, and thou reignest over them. And in thy hand is power and might. Again, and in thy hand is power and might. And in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength to all by his hand. So when you see great men, don't say, where did they come from? The hand of God visited them. It is within your power. Might is in your hand. Power is in your hand. And it is in your hand to make great. That means God can step into oasis and by his hand say, who are you? I don't care where you come from, where your father is. I have decided to place my hand upon you and to lift you. Can I tell you, when God lifts you, men must hear you. Write it down. When God lifts, if you lift yourself, you will force men to hear you. But if it is God that lifts you, men must hear you. Lifting. Lifting and exaltation comes from God. Lifting and exaltation comes from God. The mysterious lifting and exaltation that is upon lives, ministries and destinies, I can tell you it is credited to the mighty hand of God. And those who know acknowledge him vocally that he is the lifter of men. Are we together? You believe that? Say, Father, lift me. Simple but powerful prayer. Say it again. Say, Father, lift me. Go ahead and pray. You have not because you ask not. Father, don't beat around the bush. Straight to the point. Lift me. By your spirit, by your hand, Father, lift me. Lift me. Lift me. And I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to him. Father, lift me. Someone pray, oh, pray. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, let me give you the seventh and then we'll stop here for the various things that the Bible says about the hand of God. I just wanted to do an orientation for us to understand and appreciate what the Bible says about the hand of God. Let me give us the seventh. God works signs and wonders by his hands. God works signs and wonders. Like giving you a job you did not apply for. God works signs and wonders. Like causing your enemy to be the one to give you a house. Signs and wonders. The Bible says that when you see signs and wonders, it was the hand of God. Jeremiah 32:21. Jeremiah 32. Let's read together. Help me. One to read. And has brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders, and with a strong hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with great terror. Signs and wonders. God's servant says, a wonder is what makes you to wonder. That if you do not wonder, it is not a wonder. The simple definition is a wonder is anything that stops you from being normal. Hallelujah. Are we together? Exodus chapter 3, 19 and 20. God works signs and wonders by his hand. If you are here and you are in need of signs and wonders, this is the conference. God works signs and wonders. I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. Who is speaking? It is not unusual for problems to be stubborn. God understands it. He is saying here that the king of Egypt is not that cheap. He will not let you go just because you desire to go. Life will not give you what you want. The enemy will not leave you and your children to go free just because you think you are tired of captivity. He says, no, not by a mighty hand. Next verse. Here is how he will let you go. Here is how financial troubles will let someone go. Here is how curses and activities of witchcraft. God is showing you a formula right now. I hope you know I'm not just entertaining you. I will stretch out my hands and smite with all my wonders. Do you know what that means? Imagine a bag full of arsenals. They are called wonders. And God is saying, I will pick them one by one. I will use them to smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. After that, After that, that problem, after that, that curse, after that, that stagnation will let you go. Hold on. You know what it means to let you go? To let you go means it will leave you, not you will leave it. It will leave you. Listen, you can leave me and yet I refuse to leave you. Are we together now? Yes. For instance, there are times that you are holding on to someone, he's holding you, you are holding the person, and you can leave the person and say, leave me. Are we together now? The angel told Jacob, leave me. And Jacob said, I will not let you go. You can leave me, but me, I will not let you go. Because I'm the one who needs help. And the Bible says there is something he can do to enemies. You will not be the one to ask them to go. They will let you go. Pharaoh will let you go on his own accord. I will stretch out my hand. Say, Father, stretch out your mighty hand over my life. Say it again. Father, stretch out your mighty hand over my life. Mention every area of your life where you want to see his mighty outstretched arm. Come on, someone. Stretch out your hand and smile. Stretch out your hand and smile. Stretch out your hand and smile. Every Egyptian, smite. Every Red Sea, smite. Everything that would not let me go, stretch out your hand and smite. Arokata prakata belakata krotoka paranta kapraska parakatos soprakata belakata prakatos sekete paratos. By your hand, by your power, stretch out your hand and smite. Stretch out your hands and smile. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you believe what you just heard? Yes. The mighty hand of God, when it rests upon the wicked, it is not a good news for them. It will wreak havoc in the midst of them. Are we together now? Now, please sit down. Sit down. Let me just connect to something and then we'll pray. When Jesus walked upon the earth, the Bible tells us that he came as the manifestation of all that God is. All that God was and all that God is. I want you to listen carefully. There are about 37 recorded miracles in the Gospels. About 37 distinct recorded miracles. There are many other miracles that were not recorded according to John chapter 20, 30 and 31. The Bible says many other miracles did Jesus in the presence of the disciples which are not recorded in this book. Next verse. But these are written, it says, that ye might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that in believing you might have life through his name. So we know that there are many more miracles. It's only when we get to heaven we'll know what else Jesus did. But there are about 37 recorded miracles. And all of these miracles attest to the fact, listen carefully, all of these miracles attest to the fact that God is a God of power. Are we together? Now, I've spoken about the hand of God. I want to translate that revelation to the power of God. And somebody is going to be blessed now. I showed you through, especially through the lens of the Old Testament, that every time you saw the manifestation of the hand of God, it was for all of these things. But classically speaking, if you do not understand the ministry of power, because the hand of God is a representation of his power, and if you do not know, to the believer today, there are four principal assignments of power. And if you do not understand this, you may waste your experience of the hand of God. I'm saying this so that when the hand of God comes upon you, you know today with intelligence that this is why it has come. Hallelujah. I've given you a general orientation as to what the Bible has to say about the power of God. I have studied the subject of God's power by the privilege of God's grace. I've had the honor of seeing His power in my life, seeing His power in the lives of people. And so I know a bit about what the power of God can do and the dynamics of His power. I'm going to tell you a few things that will prepare your heart. Number one, God does not have authority. God only has power. Authority, the nature of authority is that somebody higher than you must confer it upon you. Are we together now? There is nobody who has authority who does not have someone above him. You have to be under authority to be able to have access to authority. Are we together? Number two, all authority is jurisdictional. The moment you give people authority, you have to define the limits of their operation. There cannot be authority without jurisdiction. So, the president of Nigeria has authority because, theoretically speaking, democracy confers authority upon him within the Federal Republic of Nigeria. Are we together? Immediately he moves outside of the Federal Republic of Nigeria, he may be a distinguished citizen, a respected elder statesman, but not a president. Are we together? Any and all immunity that comes with that office, it will usually cease to operate outside of that jurisdiction. So, when you say God has authority, what you mean is someone has limited the operation of his power. Jesus only spoke about authority when he, as God, became a man. Are we together now? Then he says all authority and power because men do not have absolute power. Let's leave that for tomorrow. Men do not have absolute power. Our power is defined and it is limited. That is why it can increase and it can decrease. Are we together now? Yes. The Bible says, I have spoken once and twice have you heard that power belongeth to the Lord. The earth is the Lord's. Everything that has to do with power. God does not only have all power. He is the exclusive owner of all power. It's not him and someone else. It's not him and Satan. It's not him and kings. It belongs to him. It is his property. Are we together now? Yes. God only gives and confers authority. He himself, I think I was preaching, it was in Port Harcourt or so, and I said some of these things. Sometimes I'm afraid to share some of these things. Believers need to know, but my fear is that sometimes believers don't stay to understand. They just get it as a revelation and then jump around and confuse themselves and others. But if you really understand what I'm telling you, there is profound power. Your faith will skyrocket when you know this. There are certain things that is not, God is not limited by them. For instance, God does not obey. No. Obedience demands that you must take instructions from someone. God was willing to submit himself if he found someone higher than him. But having nobody, the Bible says he swore by himself. Is that in your Bible? Yes. So the concept of obedience is for men. Are we together now? Yes. There is nobody for him to obey. It's not that he's a rebel. If he found someone greater than him, he would gladly obey. But the trouble is that there is no one. He's the only one in his class. Do you know what that means? That means it does not matter who talks to you. When God speaks, the reason why his word is final, it's not because he's the greatest, it's because he's the only. Are we together? I don't want to bore you with judicial systems, but in the judiciary, there is what we call jurisdiction. A customary court or a high court can pass a verdict and the person can be dissatisfied with that verdict. Are we together? And move to a higher court, the highest being the Supreme Court. Am I right on that? And when the Supreme Court makes a declaration, whether you agree or not, within the context of where you live, it is over. Am I right on that? So when God speaks, that's why sometimes you think he's delaying. He's allowing every other thing to speak. Because it doesn't matter how long and what they have said. Hezekiah received a prophecy by a genuine prophet. Is that in your Bible? High court. Came by the Spirit and said, listen, God told me to tell you, you will not recover. Hezekiah said, I respect your office. You go. And he turned his face to the wall. He said, I have to appeal this case. Oh God, remember. Remember. It's in your Bible. As soon as he spoke, God instructed the same man. He said, return back and tell him, I, not me and you now, I have decided as the supreme ruler of the universe to add your days. Let me speak to someone. I don't care who has said what. I don't care how long it has been said. I come in the name of the highest, the greatest, and the only. And I decree and declare at this Oasis conference, every speaking that is not of God is canceled now. 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 Hallelujah. If someone says you will not rise and you start crying, is disrespect unto God. Are we together? If someone says you will never carry your children and you say, see what they said. No. Let every man, let God be true. And every man. I respect doctors and I love them. They have said you don't have a womb. Congratulations. Let's go to God. If God says you don't have a womb, then we'll join you and cry. But for as long as God has not spoken, listen, listen. As we begin to pray, everybody, you are going to carry your report in your mind and bring it before the judge of all the earth. This is what life has said. What do you say? This is what my job has said. What do you say? This is what my health has said. What do you say? Someone said, Father, your word is final over my life. Say it again, Father, your word is final over my life. Go ahead and begin to pray. Your word is final. Your word for my lifting, final. Your word for my rising, final. Your word concerning long life, final. Your word concerning my prosperity, final. Your word concerning my deliverance, final. Someone pray. Final. Final. By the hand of God. Final. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, it was customary for prophets in those days that when they came to stand before those who God sent, they never said, hear me. They will say, hear ye the word of the Lord. Hear ye. Because if you hear the man is limited. Are we together? But it says, hear ye, including the earth. O earth, hear ye the word of the Lord. Can we pray for 2 minutes? You are going to mention everything that has refused to hear you. Tell it, it's all right to not hear me. But this night, hear ye the word of the Lord. It's all right. I prayed from January till November and I asked you to hear me and you did not hear me. But now at Oasis Conference, hear ye the word of the Lord. Someone declare. Finances, hear ye the word of the Lord. My destiny,
hear ye the word of the Lord. My liver, my kidney, hear ye the word of the Lord. My job, hear ye the word of the Lord. Someone is praying. Don't be silent. You're not wasting your time. Hear ye the word of the Lord. 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 Pray for your children. Declare the word upon them. Declare the word of the Lord upon them. Declare it upon your ministry. No smallness. In the name of Jesus, I will multiply them. They will not be few. I will glorify them. They will not be small. Don't be tired. Pray. The word of the Lord in the name of Jesus. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Shaparakata prakata perekato krateka perekos katebrendekepa kratekoteskatebata. Unbelief give way, unbelief give way. The Master speaketh, God Almighty speaking. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I hope you are not tired. I'm going to lead you to do a prophetic action. You're going to face the north. You're going to face the south. You're going to face the east. You're going to face the west. And you're going to make declarations. Hear ye the word of the Lord. That everything that must be drawn by the hand of God to step into your destiny, wherever it is, in the name of Jesus, we call upon the fountains in the spirit. It must locate you. Are you ready now? I don't know which one is north and south from where I'm standing, but find your north and south and east and west. In any case, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Maybe you follow my direction. Anywhere I turn, whether it's your east or my west, the most important thing is the four cardinal points prophetically they must hear. Listen, in Ezekiel 37, it says, speak to the four winds. And says, O wind, breathe upon these that are slain. Are you ready now? You're facing me, whatever direction. Say, Father, let your hand bring to my life every blessing, every prophecy made for me, meant for me in this season. Stretch your hands towards this direction and begin to pray. Prophetically, may the hand of God gravitate towards my life. May the hand of God gravitate towards my life. Someone who is tired and angry at where you are, make sure you pray. Father, let prophecy come. Let blessings come. Let liftings come. By the Spirit of God, all that it takes for my excelling in this season, may your hand bring it to my life. Hallelujah. Are you ready? We'll turn this way now. Wherever that means to you. Don't think you are being childish. You just believe. The simplicity and the foolishness of the prophetic. Say, Father,
I decree and I declare, all that is made for me, all that is meant for me, gravitate towards my destiny. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Gravitate. Gravitate towards my life, towards my destiny. By the Spirit, I speak to the wind. Blow in the name of Jesus towards my life, towards my destiny. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Blow. Blow. Shaleka parakoteta. In the name of Jesus. Hear me. The Lord is ministering to me. There is someone, by this prophetic act, before this year runs, property, God is going to bring it to your hand. And listen, if God does not speak to me, I have no business telling you what God did not tell me. With the simplicity, listen, I will explain to you what you are doing. This is how Abraham took possession. He said, Abraham, lift your eyes, turn northwards, southwards, eastwards, westwards, as far, provided your eyes can see it. Whatever is yours in that direction comes to you. Now you are going to turn. Next position. Are you ready now? Say, OS, I decree my portion of inheritance, my portion of lifting, my portion of blessings, locate me now. Go ahead and pray. OS, hear ye the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, by the hand of God, the earth is a universal point of contact. Every man's feet touches the earth. Your helper's feet is on the earth. Your lifter's feet is on the earth. God walks through man. Oh, earth, bring to my destiny the helpers of war. Bring to my destiny. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Are you ready? Turn to the final direction. Say, Father, I decree the favor you have planted. Let it locate me by your hand. Go ahead and pray. Favor, I call it forth. The help of men, access to resources, access to the hearts of kings, by the hand of God. Let it come, let it come, let it come. Shadege bereketes, rakata barakata bretege beretes. The hand of God, the hand of God, the hand of God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Listen, you can turn now. The Bible says, I told you it's a prayer meeting. The Bible says, the increase and the profit of the earth is for how many? All. Nobody truly owns land. Everybody met it here. That means everything God planted here, there is my portion there. Say, my portion. Yeah. It says, even the king is fed by that which comes from the field. God is a God of portions. It is not his will that men remain beggars forever. If you don't believe what I'm saying, just relax. When I teach the one you believe, you receive. But as for this one, if you don't believe it, it will incapacitate your life in a way you cannot imagine. Can I tell you the truth? God is a God of portions. The concept of tipping people to keep them came from Laban's house. God never tips people to keep them. No. The pattern that was given from Abraham to Isaac was that after a while, God allocates your space in destiny and gives you dominion over that space. This is how God works. Listen to me. But when Jacob came to the house of Laban, Laban began to prosper and he used divination. And he said, if you let this man go. So he said, you know what? I will keep appeasing you. Give you something small to keep you. And at a point, Jacob said, leave me. I need to go and establish myself. This state is inconsistent with how God works with men. But Laban refused and turned a man's destiny, added over 20 years wastage to his life. God is a God of portions. When in the parable of the talents, when he came and commended them, what did he give them as rewards? He allocated spaces in destiny. You have been faithful. You see, the lowest level of dominion is dominion and authority over things. That is the lowest level of authority. Authority over things is the lowest, like money, physical things. The next level of authority in the spirit, listen to, is authority over territories and nations. When you are faithful with things, when God promotes you, he does not give you things again. He gives you access. Literally, predefined regions are allocated and you exert influence over them. The highest level of authority that is given in this side of God's kingdom is the ability to steward his program. That is the highest level of authority that can be given a man. Are we together? That means God says, I want to move and I'm putting you in charge of that move. You don't believe this? Please do. So when you have things, it is wonderful, but you are not very much in the kingdom. When God moves you, you know you have risen. Because one of the ways, I'm going ahead of myself tomorrow now, but one of the ways you know that the hand of God has rested upon you, there are many factors. One is ease. The next is increased access to territory. It is impossible for the hand of God to be upon you and then it does not resonate with your territory. Yes, sir. Are we together? Yes. But the highest level of authority is when God can commit his program to your hand and say, I'm trusting you. I want to raise 50,000 worshipers and I'm putting you in charge of that agenda. It is true honor when God gives you. I want to raise 100 kingdom financiers and you are the one I have placed a grace. Can I tell you, if you get to that level of authority, even if a man believes God and ignores you in that generation, he will never step into that promise. It's true. These are mysteries that many people do not understand. There are men who have stopped being men. They have become systems. Access points to certain spiritual realities. Even when you meet God, he will refer you to them. Are we together? Let me give you one more key. I sense that there is a wind that is about to enter this place. There is a wind, because I prayed only for a short time for this meeting, truly. And when usually I just prayed that God would give me direction, and the scripture that came to my spirit was Isaiah 32:15. Until the spirit be poured upon us from on high, and then the wilderness be a fruitful field, and a fruitful field be a forest. There are levels. From a wilderness, you can be fruitful as an individual. A forest starts because the tree that is there starts multiplying. It is multiplication of one tree that produces a forest. Hallelujah. Are we learning now? Sit down. Let me just give you one more key. The hand of God. You see why it's good to come to church? Now, having described for you the hand of God, there are certain principles that you must understand. Because I told you that the hand of God explains the power of God in motion, the power of God at work. Listen, The power of God only blesses the saints when it is at work, not just when it is present. The power of God can be present and yet it will not bless you until the power of God is at work. For instance, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, listen please, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Are we Bible students? And then verse 2 says, now the earth, verse 2, was without form, is the Hebrew expression tohu wa bohu, confusion and chaos. Watch this. And the darkness was upon the face of the deep. Interestingly, in the midst of that confusion, the Bible says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters and nothing happened. The presence of the Spirit of God did not bring any effect until we get to verse 3. The Bible says, and God said, there are triggers, there are principles that must be understood if you want to see the power of God. You want to see the hand of God. Just because you want the hand of God to rest upon your life does not mean it will rest. I will introduce a few and then we'll pray, because the Lord placed it in my heart that tonight will be a prayer meeting. And then by all means, please do not miss tomorrow's service. Are we together? If there's no space, sit outside, climb the fence, sit on the ground. People travel, with all due respect, from north to south. And when there are no seats, because they must get to their destination, there's, even if it's on the ground, I will sit there. I'm not saying you should sit literally. I'm just saying your desperation must be that high that I'm determined to leave this place by the hand of God. Hallelujah. And then the Bible says, watch this. The Bible tells us very interestingly that there are people who desire deliverance, desire the hand of God, and never saw the hand of God, never saw the manifestation of his power. An example of such that is very common in the Bible. Watch this now. For 430 years, God's people kept crying, crying, and yet deliverance did not come. For 38 years, the man at a pool called Bethesda, close to where the power of God would work, are we together now? And yet did not receive anything. So just because you desire to see the hand of God upon your life does not mean it will come. Just because you want to see the power of God moving. If I don't tell you this, many of you may have just been excited for nothing. I must show you the trigger. I must show you the key. Are you ready? There are a few keys. This is really where the secret is. The awareness that the power of God can be outstretched and can do all the things we listed, that is a fact. But whether or not it will be captured in your life is a different thing altogether. I want to show you a few secrets, and I pray and hope that you believe. Are you ready? Number one, the first key that causes the power of God to rest upon a man's life mightily, the hand of God to come upon a man, or the hand of God to fight whatever it is, watch this now, is your determination to walk in the will of God. As simple as this sounds, you just write it down. Because the power of God has a singular assignment to bring all things to the will of God. If you remove the will of God out of the program of a man's life, the power of God has no assignment again. Believers, please listen. Please listen. Everything, the entire administration of the power of God in the Bible was always with respect to the will of God. That means the power of God, or the hand of God as we call it in this conference, does not just work based on human desires. God does not just do what men want. Otherwise, we'll make God to look like a wicked God, because he will only fulfill the lusts of men's heart. Are we together now? The Bible says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that when we ask anything, watch this, according to his will, he heareth us. Most believers, Pastor Nath, this is where most sincere people miss it. In their desire to see the outstretched arm of God, we take away the will of God factor. Did you know that the reason why Jesus was approved of God, the reason why Jesus was called the Logos of God, it was not just because he was God incarnate. It was that the entire journey of his life, lo, I come, is that in your Bible? In the volume of the book, not to do my will, to do your will. There are many people who think the power of God is simply a supernatural instrument to fulfill their lusts and their desires. And this is the reason why many believers in church do not receive from God. So they are aware of what his power can do. They know that the hand of God can rest upon a life. If God became a robot and said, "You just desire and I do," what if your desire is that I die? You see that? What if your desire is that this program should not hold tomorrow? What if your desire is that all churches be closed and destroyed? No. The power of God is regulated by his will. The power of God, the mighty hand of God, the hand of God only moves in the direction of his will. The hand of God does not move in the direction of the desires of men. If it looks like God grants men the desires of their heart, it's because they have turned their desires to his will. Did you get what I said? This is very important. I will just give you this one and then we'll close. It is important. Believers, please hear me. God has been building in the course of this conference, but you need to understand this. If you miss this principle, you will be surprised. It is the reason why great people do not secure the assistance of God in their life, because they want God to come and help them continue what they are doing that is already outside his will. And the power of God only fights what is antichrist. Is the reason why there are certain battles the power of God cannot fight, because it is God who is causing the battle. Like, for instance, resisting the proud. When God is resisting the proud, the anointing cannot work, because the anointing was only supposed to fight what is against the will of God. So before the power of God works, there is a verification system in the spirit whether that mission is the will of God or not. This description is also how God makes friends and enemies. You are not a friend of God just because you are a believer. No. When the Bible says, "Let God arise," listen, believers, let me teach you. "And all his enemies," not your enemies. And you may have heard me teach. Do you know what it means to be God's enemy? God's enemy, I will tell you, according to scripture, is not the person that you hate. No. The person you hate may not be God's enemy. Whoever becomes a perpetual interruption to the manifestation of God's will is his enemy. You read your Bible and see how God turned against his own people. Because in the economy of God, all things revolve within his will. To the point that when Jesus became sin, the Father turned his face against him. Are we together now? Knowing that that was the Son of the living God. But the moment he stripped himself of that righteousness and became sin, the Father had to turn his face. So not even Jesus was spared. He said, "Eloi, Eloi, lamak sabachthani." Is that not in your Bible? "Father, even me, you did not spare me with this principle." And he turned his face against him. Because the same way he turns at sin, Jesus was not a sinner, but he became an embodiment of sin. Is someone listening to me now? So, if you understand this key of the will of God, you have found this one of the major secrets for securing the power of God. The captain of the Lord's host appears to Joshua, Pastor Nath, and Joshua tells him, "Are you for us?" Watch this. "Or against us?" What was his answer? "Neither. This is not how God works. God has an agenda. I'm here to find out who is on the Lord's side." The person who decides to be on the Lord's side, that means if a believer through ignorance or through rebellion becomes a perpetual interruption to the will of God, whether you're a man of God, whether you're a businessman, very soon you will find the hand of God working against you. Because God's agenda is that all things must line up and become consistent with His will. It is the reason why the basis for accurate walk for the believer is that you walk within the confines of Scripture. Because therein is a concise description of the revealed will of God. Are we together now? Yes. So many believers say things like, "Oh God, why is it that you don't want to arise like the mighty man you are and visit me and do this? I don't like my condition." No. But you see, your desire, your heart, your pursuit must be consistent with the will of God. Otherwise, the power of God will not rest upon you. Is someone learning? That is why, now I say this with all due respect, you will find many skilled people, many gifted people, many intelligent and eloquent people, and you yourself, you almost cry and say, "God, is it that you don't want to lift them?" God is only interested in that which can birth and sustain His will. God will rather find a yielded weak person than a rebellious strong person. Because as far as God is concerned, the manifestation of His will is His priority. So when you see people at the cutting edge, you see His hand lifting them, it's not because He decided to isolate this man of God or isolate this person. Go and find out their heart for God. And there are people who have trained themselves to only, their marching order is the awareness of the will of God. Lord, what do you want? This was the secret of the victory of great people in the old times. Should I pursue? What is your will? Not what do I want? Even Jesus said, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass over." He said, just remember, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Someone say, "Your will be done." Does that look like the prayer that Jesus taught us? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth. Thy will be done. Is one secret I found in my life, that for as long as your heart is ever committed to being a revelation of the will of God, then you will secure His power. Is the reason why many, even men of God, do not see the power of God. Because even though they want signs and wonders to happen, the motive is not to glorify Jesus. The motive is just to market self. And sometimes we become disappointed in a very painful way. Is someone learning now? The first key I want to show you that controls the manifestation of the supernatural power of God in the life of a man. You want to see the hand of God come upon your family, aligned to His will. The Bible says, "Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? He that had clean hands and a pure heart, whose soul has not lifted up, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord, and righteousness even from the God of his salvation." The will of God. Why do you want the rising? Why do you want the prosperity? Why do you want the honor? Why do you want the expansion? I know you turn left, north, south, east, west. I agree. But why? To what end? And there are many options. One can be the marketing and the promotion of self. One can be to prove a point to people. But the other can be that you desire His will. And you see, ultimately, the will of God is not hidden. The Bible lets us know, watch this now, that God desires for the entire creation to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus, that they might know Him, and then to come into the knowledge of the truth. When the revelation of Jesus becomes your ultimate desire, listen, please listen. When the revelation of Jesus becomes your ultimate desire, you have found the key to the hand of God. All the men God assisted and helped to rise were people who at one point, including heathenistic kings, the moment they could align themselves to birth His will, they secured His attention. Are we learning? Say, the will of God. The Bible prays that we stand entire and perfect in all the will of God. All the will of God. Most times preachers do not find out the will of God. Business people do not find out the will of God. They are aware of what they want. They are aware of what will take shame out of their life, but they are usually uninterested. And the will of God ultimately, can I tell you, no matter what you receive from the Spirit or from the Word as the will of God, the ultimate litmus test is Christ revealed through that process. If Jesus Christ is not revealed through that process, you are in error. I don't care what it is. Making money, having a name, moving you from from CEO to whatever, transcontinental director. It is not God is able to do that. So if you tell me I found the will of God, I will tell you I'm watching. If I do not see the revelation of Christ through your honor, through your glory, through your rising, you now have a new branch. Okay? All I'm watching is not your expertise. I want to see Jesus evolve and be revealed out of that process. Do you believe what I'm teaching you? Church is quiet now, ba. Allow that circumcision happen in your hearts this night in the name of Jesus. Because you will walk in power. You will see the hand of God evidently. It is in your Bible that it's not like his hand is too short that it cannot save. But it says your iniquity. You know what iniquity is? A perpetual state of rebellion against the will of God. Iniquity is not sin. No. The psalmist said, if I cherish iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not hear me. Iniquity is a perpetual, willful, continual interruption of God's will in and through your life. And there are consequences. One of it is that your bishopric is taken, your candlestick, your relevance, your lampstand can be taken. Even if God started using you yesterday, it doesn't mean that he will use you now. Is someone learning? This is very powerful. The will of God. Can I give you one more? I have about 20 minutes. You will hear one more and then we'll continue the rest. Everybody say the will of God. Can you lay your hands on your head in 1 minute and say, Father, to do your will, let it be my obsession. Please pray. Some of you, while you pray this prayer, it will be your deliverance. To do your will. What is your will? To reveal Jesus. Go ahead and pray. Change my motive. Walk upon my heart. To do your will. To reveal Jesus. To reveal Jesus. To reveal Jesus. That men will see him. Go ahead. To reveal Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. So you want to see the hand of God upon your life? The first requirement is the will of God. Can I give you number two? The second key that causes the hand of God, the power of God, to be on display in the life of men is obedience. Obedience. You will never see the hand of God upon your life, not the life of anyone, if you do not walk in obedience. What does it mean to obey God? To obey God means to act in keeping with his word, to act in keeping with his instructions, to act in keeping, not to wish, not just to talk, to act. Obedience is an action word. In one word, faith is obedience. No matter how you define faith, if it does not culminate to obedience, it's a poor definition. Obedience. Number one, the determination to walk in the will of God. Number two, obedience. Let me give you number three. The third key that controls the manifestation of the hand of God. I will just introduce this. And then we'll pray. I really sense a stirring in this place. The third key is worship. Worship is a mysterious key. Tomorrow I'm going to be showing you. Are we together now? How the hand of the Lord, he said, bring me a minstrel. And as they brought the minstrel, he began to worship, and the hand of the Lord rested upon him, the prophet. And he said, you shall not see wind, you shall not see rain, yet the valley. The one of the richest description of the power of God is in the book of Psalms. There is no other book in the Bible that captures the diverse operations of the power of God. It was hidden in the life of a worshiper. The deeper your worship, the greater, the stronger his hand. David understood this. David understood this. You read the book of Psalms. I repeat, there is no other manifestation, not even the Gospels, that captures the diversity, the display of the power of God as captured in Scripture. Now, worship. Worship is beyond singing, but singing is a major aspect of worship. Most people think you have to be a musician to sing. No. Any man of God that you see that God has trusted with great grace for supernatural, whether he is given the gift of singing well or not, these are people who have respected the ministry of worship. Hallelujah. Yeah. Most believers do not understand that when you worship God in the beauty of holiness, when you praise him, when you roll before him, when you cry, it is not God you are helping. Something is actually happening to you. God does not change. God does not increase. Are we together now? When it looks like God is higher or he's become higher, it's simply your perception that changed. God does not change. God does not improve. God does not increase. Those attributes don't exist with him. He is, and that's it. Like the sun. It's been like that from when you were born. Still like that. Doesn't fade. Not intimidated. No amount of water or weather condition has been able to stop it. Are we together? Do you believe what I'm teaching you? I've given you three keys. I'm just trying to summarize because I want us to pray. That number one, if you stand in the will of God and you learn the will of God, you have found the key to the hand of God. Number two, your obedience. In disobedience, you will never see the hand of God. If it be thou, bid me come. And he said, come. Whatever he tells you to do, John chapter 2, verse 5, whatever he tells you to do, Mary counseled them. He said, do it. Do it. How does Jesus see a man? Ladies and gentlemen, watch this. A man who was born blind. And then Jesus puts mud in his eyes and say, go. He didn't say escort him. Go, carry your blindness to the pool called Siloam and go and wash and you will see. He sees a man who had been crippled from birth and says, stand up, take your mat and go home. Obedience. Same thing happened in the book of Acts chapter 3. At the hour of prayer, Peter and John went to pray and they saw a man at Gate Beautiful. And they told him, silver and gold I do not have, but such as I have, give I unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. The man was staring at them. Nothing happened. The power of God was present. But bankrupt of obedience, it could not work. You couldn't call that the hand of God. Peter had to assist him. The Bible says he reached out to him and held him. And the man leaping stood. Hallelujah. I'm tempted to give you one more. Is that a good temptation? I hope you will believe it. Sacrifice. That's why I said I hope you are the one who tempted me. The Bible said there's no temptation that is bigger than us. So for it to have come, and we cooperated in making it happen together. Sacrifice. Psalm 50 and verse 5. Gather unto me my saints, the Bible says. They that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Hopefully tomorrow, if we have the time, we are going to examine as a case study the man Elijah. Are we together now? Yes. This is where many believers have been cheated almost eternally. They want to see the hand of God, but they do not understand that in this kingdom, the rising of the saints and the command of authority is highly dependent on sacrifice. Not only, but highly. It is in this area that whether you serve Jesus or Satan, it doesn't matter. You must go through that process of sacrifice. You want to be a priest, you want to be able to kill people, to disappear, it's still sacrifice. You can't dodge that one. You now say, I'm born again. Welcome to a new family, but you will still go through that process of sacrifice. Most believers, your unbecoming is your obsession for convenience. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, there is nobody I know who is a carrier of the hand of God upon their lives, who has seen God move over their life, who has seen the power of God, that does not understand sacrifice. And when I talk of sacrifice, the issue of sacrifice in terms of laying down something is a latter aspect. The real sacrifice is you. If you are not on that altar together with your gift, if it is only your gift that is on that altar, it is not a sacrifice. Your gift will be on one side, then you yourself must be on the other side. Are we together now? The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, it says, Romans chapter 12 verse 1, I beseech thee, brethren, that ye offer your, by the message of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know what that means? That you are the one, your entire life. If the only thing you give God is your money, it is too small. No, God is too big for you to come. If the only thing you give God is transfer or an alert, that is too small. No. Even to men, there are people who have grown beyond a point where it's an insult if you give them money. You will go and look for one old portrait that there are only two of them in the world. Then buy it and give them, because there is nothing material that really matters. Please listen. If you do not understand this, you will never truly carry power and you will not see the hand of God upon your life. Gather unto me my saints, they that have made a covenant with me. There are people who, if the devil dare comes near, even if God's people are sleeping or awake, their sacrifice has become a memorial in the spirit. God has vowed a vow over their life that for as long as this man is there, listen, there is a level of sacrifice you get to with God where you become a friend of God. You know what that means? Most people say, I am a friend of God. They are right. But from a standpoint of spiritual intelligence, not everybody can be a friend of God. The friend of God is a status. It's an honor. It's like a badge God gives men. Do you know the implication of being a friend of God? For you to be a friend of God, if you are going to derail, God would rather take your life than for you to end with a bad testimony. Most people don't know what it means to be a friend of God. You have earned a status with God in the spirit. Jesus was speaking with his disciples and he says, I no longer call you strangers, but friends. Is that true? Yes. And one of the privileges of being a friend of God is that he never does anything in your generation without revealing it to you. This is what happened to Abraham. We're Bible students. Shall I hide this from my friend Abraham? That when God wants to move upon the face of the earth, God wants to move upon Lagos, he comes to you and says, this is what I'm about to do. That friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But it answers to sacrifice. Ladies and gentlemen, most believers, there are realms in the spirit where it is not just about loving Jesus, wonderful as it is. Your life must become a living sacrifice if you want to see this happen. It's an uncomfortable truth, but I tell you it's the truth. Behind the exploits of men and the mysterious hand of God upon great people in ministry, in business, there are people who God has suffered no man to do them wrong. He reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. I tell you, it's not because their prayer life is the longest. It's not because their word study life is the most concise. There is something they have done with God. They have provoked a sworn blessing that in blessing I will bless you. Hallelujah. There are people today, Pastor Nat, who is not necessarily the extent of their spirituality that brought them into ministry. There is something their parents did. They dedicated certain rooms and said, we may not be anointed, but every missionary who comes, let him get a place to stay. They did this for 20 years, 30 years, and God vowed a vow that he would never allow anybody rise in this family without any help. Hallelujah. I wish I had the time I would tell you my stories. It is not just prayer and fasting. I have emptied my accounts. Only God knows how many times. For God and because I love God. I have stretched myself border to border because I love God. And it is not, I'm even uncomfortable as I'm saying it now. Because I'm not just trying to market myself or whatever. I'm showing you that there are certain dimensions in the spirit where the key is blood. There are certain dimensions where the key is not a metallic object. It's on this. Blood must be dripping on your altar for certain doors to open. I wish I were lying. I would just tell you I'm joking. Unfortunately, I'm not. There are levels of power and authority that you want to carry over nations. Some of you here, perhaps you are worshippers and you want the hand of God to rest upon you, that the nations will hear you. You can write 1,000 songs. Ladies and gentlemen, you will sing the songs of the great and it will not carry that effect because it's not coming from that depth in the spirit. Today I hear people say, I want to carry the mantle of Reinhard Bonnke. I want to carry the mantle of... Don't just covet the performance of the hand of God upon their life. Find out the kinds of sacrifices this man made. I hope you still like what I'm saying. We're going to pray. It is the truth. It is the truth. It is the truth. Sacrifice is where men are separated from boys. Sacrifice in the spirit, that men and women who love God first with all their hearts, and you have gotten to a point where there is nothing you cannot give God. At that point, you can be lying down and one song without you writing it will come through the gate of your sacrifice, and that one song can open you up to the nations. One sermon by the spirit can come. How was creation saved? Sacrifice, not desire. To the point that when God wanted to sponsor redemption, Jesus himself had to come and die as a sacrifice. It's a principle that even God respected. Jesus cried and God saw him crying. Yet he did not withdraw. That justice system had to be meted out. Do you know, one of the scariest statements in the Bible is that Jesus gave up the ghost. I understand the fact that men, how does life die? How does life die? How does light become darkness? The Father did not spare Jesus. Let me tell you the price of redemption. Death. Did Jesus pray when he walked upon the earth? Yes. But his prayer could not translate people from darkness to light. No. Did Jesus fast? More than you, most likely. Did Jesus study scripture from age 12 when some of us were not born again? With all of that, so if it is being warded, Jesus was warded. If he's been prayerful, Jesus was prayerful. If he was fasting, Jesus fasted. Are we together? If he was obedience, Jesus was the perfect portrait of obedience. And with all of that, he could not birth redemption. He went to the point where they lacerated him. 30 stripes, 40 stripes, save one. And the Father still looked at him. Put a crown of thorn upon his head. He had the option. He said, I can call a legion. 10,000 angels. And Pontius Pilate looked at him. What a man is this? And Jesus, a 33 and a half year old man, carried the cross by himself, naked with the shame. His only cloth was his blood. And he went to the cross and the Father was still watching. Two thieves were there, talking all their stories. He was still there until Jesus died. Went to Hades, the place of the dead. Purchased for us redemption and resurrected triumphantly. Are we together? You don't have to die for your own sins. But sacrifice is a non-negotiable requirement. Lord, I desire power. I want to see your grace rest upon me. Lord, I want to become like Pastor Nat. If it's trumpet, I even have it at home. I can play the thing. I can blow it. Why is it that I blow my own and nobody, the people say, don't disturb us? I can tell you, it's not that there is something wrong with your skill. It's that there is a measure, there is a relationship between death and glory. My Bible says, except a corn falls to the ground and dies. I will stop here so that we'll pray. Rise up on your feet. Are we together? Remember everything I've told you. I gave you four keys tonight. We'll build on them tomorrow. The will of God. If you cannot find the will of God, and if your life is not pegged at birthing the will of God, you may not see the hand of God in your life. What's number two? Obedience. To the disobedient, you will always empower the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that walketh in the sons of obedience, having the readiness to judge all disobedience only when your obedience is complete. There is nothing God will ever do in your life that will not demand obedience from you. Salvation is the cheapest thing given to men, and even that, you must obey the principles connected to it. That if you shall confess with your heart, your mouth, the Lord Jesus, believing in your heart, you use any other formula, it does not equal salvation. Hallelujah. What's number three? Worship. An intense atmosphere. For someone, you need to return home and create an atmosphere of worship and cry before the Lord and watch the wonder working power of praise with understanding. The wonder working power of worship with understanding. And then finally, sacrifice. Sacrifice of your life, your resources, your everything for His glory. Perhaps for someone, you came here and God is challenging you and say, my son, if you desire to step into a higher level, it must be on the wings of sacrifice. I know that because things like sacrifice have been abused, sometimes preachers get afraid of talking about it, but the truth is still the truth. It is a non-negotiable condition. There are times where God has instructed me, I have carried certain seeds to our fathers of faith. They spoke certain things in my life in the secret. The answer was revealed in the open. Sacrifice. There are things that I did with God. There was a time, Pastor Nat, when we were starting, I emptied the ministry account at God's instruction. If it's my own account, I don't know how many times. I even wonder why it was not closed then. Sacrifice. It's not about money. If you can prove to God you are higher than everything you gave me, then He will keep lifting you. Are we together? There are some of you, the reason why you cannot see the hand of God on your life is that there is something else on your head. So His hand cannot rest there. When His hand comes, it finds out that something else has replaced His hand on your head. When He comes, He finds money on your head. There are others, when He comes, He finds fame on your head. There are others, when He comes, He finds lust on your head. And He says, no, you must get rid of these things. Then my hand can come upon you. Is someone ready to pray? Father, the grace to do your will, the grace to obey, the grace to plunge myself in worship, and the grace for sacrifice. Release that grace upon me. Please pray. Pray. We're taking a minute or two and we're done. Shabarato kabereto secrecy.
Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, come and make your presence known, we feel the glory of the risen Lord. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, come and make your presence known, we feel the glory of the risen Lord. Let the weight of your glory cover us. Let the light. Let the truth of your kingdom, let it reign in us. Let the way of your glory, let the way of your glory.
You are praying. Just a minute and we're done.
Your name is to be hallowed. Ah, your name is to be hallowed through my life.
Hallelujah. I apologize for stretching your time, but I just want to make one call and then we're done tonight. I'm not going to ask you to come out, but I sense in my heart, the Lord is saying, I am looking for someone here who is prepared to be a sacrifice. I want to use you as a spectacular display of my glory, but there are still things you are withholding. There are still things you are withholding. And the Lord wants you to cry in the next 1 minute. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but hear me, I'm speaking by the Spirit of God. There are many of you, there are relationships you love more than God. There are business deals you love more than God. No. This realm of sacrifice, there are few people who have gotten there. There are pastors maybe listening to me. The secret is not just your prayer. The secret is not just your fasting. You have prayed, Jesus prayed. You have fasted, Jesus fasted. You studied the word. But when your all becomes poured like a drink offering, you have approached a realm in the spirit where you will see the hand of God. I want to give you the next 1 minute. I apologize for stretching the time. Whether you want to lie down, whether you want to cry, you're going to say, Lord, this is me, all of me. I surrender everything. Everything.
I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you.
Minute with God.
I'm withholding nothing. I surrender all to you. Everything I give.
Don't be ashamed of your tears. It is the hand of God you desire. Listen to what you are saying.
I'm withholding nothing.
Sing it.
Withholding nothing. Withholding nothing. Withholding nothing. Withholding nothing.
Will you give yourself away? That's a question that God is asking you tonight.
Will you give yourself away so He can use you?
You answer now.
I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me.
are still praying, just take a minute. You are not wasting your time. Father, every idol and everything that has stopped your hand from resting upon my life, resting upon my finances. Your arms are not too short that you cannot bring deliverance. You have seen it from scripture that the hand of God can create, the hand of God can sustain, the hand of God can judge the wicked, the hand of God can bring deliverance, it can bring redemption, the hand of God can lift men.
Hear me, man of God. The secret to being in ministry is to forget about ministry and focus on Him, loving Him, giving your all, pouring your all. Then you will find ministry. Businessman, some can trust in horses and chariots. But when God's hand decides to bring you a thing, it preserves, it keeps. For someone here, you have tried and tried and tried. God brought you to the Oasis conference because He's saying, stop. This up and down does not give God glory. Waking up in the morning and sleeping late in the night, hustling through life only to eat the bread of sorrow. Help those under the anointing. Please help that lady so she doesn't injure herself.
When the glory comes, there'll be no words to say. Oh.
Calling you, you've trusted in things of lesser value, but He's showing you the path to the hand of God. The hand of God is not just the name of a conference, it's an experience that you can have and carry. It can become your habitation, your reality, but only if your heart is stayed on revealing Jesus, seeing that His will is birthed perpetually through your life. That you walk in obedience. That you live a life of worship. Paul and Silas, they prayed. But when they sang, the Bible tells us that His mighty power came, descended upon that prison room, and all doors opened. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Tomorrow we'll have the time to minister to people. I know that there are people who have come with several needs. Come tomorrow with your heart opened. I will share with you a few more secrets. And then God will grant us grace. And we'll experience His mighty hand. But watch this. I'm standing taking one or two more minutes for the sake of someone who came to church right now. Perhaps you were invited. Perhaps you are following online. Perhaps you attended all the sessions before my time here. And in the midst of this discussion tonight, the Spirit of the Lord began to speak to you. For you, it is not even surrender of things. It is surrender of your entire life. Whoever told you are at a loss when you give everything to Jesus. Whoever told you are at a loss when you hand over your life. You have mismanaged it. You keeping it yourself. Why don't you trust one who has the track record
Pastor Nat taught us that he has a track record of keeping his word. He will not break it because of you. I want to give someone an opportunity. Two calls in one. Number one, you are saying, Apostle, I've heard many preachers make altar calls, but this has come very different tonight, and I truly want to make Jesus Lord of my life indeed. Persons, number two, you are saying, Apostle, mine is that I am determined to surrender all. I remember making the altar call, but I cannot say in truth that my life, I cannot call myself a child of God. I don't want you to be ashamed. There is absolutely nothing to be ashamed of. Wherever you are in this place, I'm going to count 1 to 5. From the farthest place in this auditorium to all of the aisles, I want you to summon that courage. I'm looking for one sincere person. Come and stand before me here. I want to pray for you. Run like there's fire on the mountain. Come and stand. I begin my call now. One.
You are good. You are kind. You are more than these.
Help me.
Lost for words.
Keep coming.
Trying to describe you. Elohim, Elion, how you share me.
Let's celebrate them as they come.
Greatness is all us.
I like this part.
There is nothing you cannot do. There's no mountain you cannot move. If you have said it, then you will do it. You have a track record of keeping your word. You're not about to stop doing it. Oh Lord. Olorun Afaye,
you are mighty,
se bi won lo soju orun
Jashobora,
se be ile soju orun
Jashobora.
Now ladies and gentlemen, hear me. Some of you are crying. Don't be ashamed of your tears. This is what it takes to have the hand of God rest upon an individual. I salute you for the courage, defying all odds and coming before Jesus. And I'm standing on the stage here with Pastor Nat. I want to lead you to make this prayer, whether as a first-time prayer or you are genuinely, sincerely rededicating your heart to Jesus. Lift your right hand, may I request, whether you're kneeling or standing. I want to see your hands lifted, and then I pray with you. Say this as loud as you can. Mean it from the depth of your heart. Say, Lord Jesus. One more time, say, Lord Jesus. Tonight, I have heard your word. If you're joining them, please come. I see some more people. Say, tonight, I have heard your word. I need you in my life. Tonight, I receive you into my heart as my Savior, my Lord, and my King. I declare that the power of sin. I see some people coming from the overflow, I presume. Please come and join them very quickly. Thank you. Thank you for the courage. God bless you. Let's give them a big God bless you. Come. There's always room at the cross. Say it again. I receive you into my heart as my Savior, my Lord, my King. Let your hand rest upon me for redemption, for salvation, for deliverance. I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over my life. From tonight and forever, I am a child of God, washed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Help them. I want to pray for you now. Please just help those under the anointing. I stretch my hands over all of you who are in front here. And in the name of Jesus, the one whose hand we have prayed that it rests upon us. I'm praying for you that everything that is not of God around your life, destroying your destiny, keeping you in sin, I pray for you by the authority of Scripture and upon your confession, be set free now. Be set free now. In the name of Jesus, I call you bona fide recipients of the life of God, and I decree and I declare over you that the power to live a victorious Christian life is released upon you. You go and excel. From tonight, the hand of God rests upon you in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. All right, so please remain. Please remain. Pastor Nath has a word for you. Just a moment. Just a moment. Just remain. Usually you would be going, but yes.
I don't know what Apostle is about to do next, but while I was sitting there, the Spirit of God just quickened my heart. And people who have stepped out to go, I really just wonder where they are going to. You know, there's such an awesome presence here. This conference is not every day. And what we're about to do is very pivotal to your lives. Now, Pastor Peter, come up. I just wanted them to stay here and be a part of it. Now, when we talk about the hand of God, one of the ways I believe it manifests is in the prophetic. Say the prophetic. Yesterday, I told you how I got an impression to wear white. No, please, wait. So, we've prayed for this conference. So whatever you are seeing, when men of God come here, there is a spirit of prophecy already. So, it was impressed upon my heart. I wore a white shoe. I was at the door and I felt a strong impression to wear the black. As I came in here, I realized, it's not every time you read meanings into those things, but whenever the Holy Spirit quickens you, then you take it seriously. And Dr. Sakwe said, oh, you are dressed like me. And then Pastor Peter said, oh, we are dressed. And then I got that quickening again. And I was praying here in the Spirit, and the Spirit of God impressed upon our hearts to speak life. Now, I'm sitting down there again today. Before coming, I got a witness by Uche's black shirt. You know, you sent me a white one. So I was about to wear the white one. The Spirit of God just brought you by vision to me. So I knew that I was supposed to dress like this. I didn't tell Apostle how to dress. And the speaker of today is dressed this way. And Pastor Peter, who wore white yesterday, is dressed this way. So this is not some arranging stuff. Now, I ask questions. So Lord, why this again? And then while Apostle spoke from Exodus 3, 19 to 20. Please put up the picture of yesterday that we had put up the picture for a witness. You know, that image came back to me. And while Apostle quoted Exodus 3, 19 to 20, please put Exodus 3, 19 to 20. Don't leave today until I say leave. Okay? He says, I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. I had this strong impression to have us pray that prayer again. And then the apostle will declare that whatever represents Egypt in your life, that the Egyptians you've seen today, you will see them no more. We'll stretch our hands and the man of God would speak it. So yesterday we spoke life. Today he's going to, anything that represents Egypt in your life, we're going to serve them notice. Amen. So that's why I ask them to stand. So, Apostle, if you're done with what you're
amazing,
doing.
Amazing by the Spirit. And that is true, what Pastor Nat is saying. Sometimes it's called the ministry of signs and wonders. God does certain things so that people will know as a sign that he's in their midst. Are we together? And when you see him, you must discern what he's saying. And so in 1 minute, I know that our time is gone, but these are very prophetic moments. Whatever represents Egypt in your life, I want you to mention it before the Lord and say, Father, it must leave now. Go ahead. Don't be silent. Whatever represents Egypt. For some of you, Egypt means bankruptcy of spiritual fire. For some, Egypt means shame and reproach. For some of you, Egypt means bondages of all sorts. Please don't be silent. I'd like you to pray. We're agreeing by faith now. We're going to be making declarations by the Spirit. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Exodus 14:13. I want to speak over your life now. Exodus 14:13. There are two more keys I'm going to give you tomorrow, and then I'll show you something else. But the Bible says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you this day. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, he says, ye shall see them no more forever. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, financial Egyptians, spiritual Egyptians, career Egyptians, Egyptians that hinder fruitfulness, by the power that raised Christ from the dead, we command that they live your life now. We command that they disappear. Help that lady. Disappear from your life now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In church on Sunday, I preached from 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 21. The statement, Ichabod. I want to cancel that still in line with this over someone. Hallelujah. The Bible says, and she... The she there is the wife of Phinehas. She named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel. I don't know who is it the glory of your destiny has left. I decree and declare right now, in this prophetic atmosphere, Parush Ketebede, standing with the man of God, we release our faith. Right now, every mark upon your head, called Ichabod, we wipe it right now. We wipe it right now. Evil marks upon your head, demonic marks upon your destiny that has taken the glory from your life, let it be wiped away now. 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 Instead of that name, Ichabod, by prophecy tonight, we call you Beulah. We call you Hephzibah. We call you Beulah. We call you Hephzibah. We call you Beulah. We call you Hephzibah. No more shall this proverb be used in your life, that the glory has departed. In the name of Jesus. And finally, for some of you, as a sign, this night before the day is done, God will give you a strange testimony. My God will give you a strange visitation. You will see the hand of God practically. Some of you over your finances, some of you over your health, some of you supernatural emails, supernatural calls. God will be writing up age-long problems in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Before I take my leave, let me encourage you. Please listen. Tomorrow is going to be a very prophetic time in this place. And I'm repeating again that please you come. I'm lending my voice with Pastor Nat. And that also includes those who are connecting from across the globe. Distance is no barrier. This can be your chance. Some of you probably missed Hallelujah Challenge. You didn't have the opportunity to participate. Now here is an opportunity that God is giving. It is no coincidence.
God is a God of mercy. His hand is coming again. There are whole families that need to connect tomorrow. Whole families, not just individuals. Father, mother, siblings. There are some of you who need to come with your loved ones. Pastor Knight, may I request? Is it all right if I request that the people come with prayer requests tomorrow? How many of you believe in answered prayers? Now, here's what I want you to do. I don't know how those online will participate. I'm sure there's a way. Those online, there should be a link or there should be a way to send your request. One of the things we are going to be doing tomorrow night is that everything you know that is inconsistent with the will of God, whether a health condition, whether a family problem, please don't spare. Write it down. Even for your loved ones who are abroad, you can call them and tell them fire is burning here. The hand of God is resting upon us. Write them down. We're going to collate them and we're going to lay hands on them. And the mighty hand of God, tomorrow let the God that answers by fire, may he be our God. Are we in agreement on that? For tonight, may the Lord bless you. You will experience his mighty hand. Like we said, some of you before this time tomorrow, you will only return to give thanks. Because God would have so visited you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. So those...
Okay, where are the counselors? Where are you?
Okay, those of you who are in front, may I please request... The counselors are waving their hands. They will have a word with you just within a moment. Let's honor them as they follow the counselors. God bless you. God bless you.
There's also a QR code that you can scan.
Okay, so there's a QR code, particularly for those of you who made the salvation prayer online. You can scan the QR code, and then if there's need, you fill in the information appropriately, and God will help you. Yes, sir.
Please, we're almost done. I want us to honor this dear man of God as he goes to his seat. Please, don't take him up yet. But please, now, we're almost done, but every time I sit, please wait, every time I sit, and by the way, if you're here and the Lord speaking to you, to give again while Apostle was speaking, feel free. This may be a confirmation for you. All right, we don't want to stop you from your blessing, but please don't go yet because I want us to pray for this man of God before he goes up. Well, every time I see Apostle minister, please put up Isaiah 49 verse 2. God has helped me by the privilege of his grace to have a heart that celebrates other people. I don't understand when people compete and, you know, but when I see this man of God, my heart just rejoices. And as I sat there, this is what I saw. He had made Apostle Selman's mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand had he hid him. He had made him a polished shaft. And his quiver had hid him. This man of God is a polished shaft. Please hold on. I mean, the delivery of the word with accuracy, the spirit, is just... We have never seen it in this fashion ever in this part of the world. So sometimes my heart bleeds when you find all of these attacks and critics. And I just want us to sow a seed of prayer in his life. You know, let's not just take. I know he's here tomorrow. But that God, I don't know how many of you, I'm not tired of listening to this man. There's no diminishing return. I've heard him for years. What is it? What is he doing? I mean, I'm in ministry, so I know what I'm talking about. If it's easy, go and try it. Come every conference and pack this place full, and people are blessed every time with proofs. Stretch forth your hands. Please, empty your bow on this man for me. That God will keep him pray. I travel the world. I know the people who listen to him. This man disciples pastors around the world. That God will keep him for us. That Apostle Joshua Selman is a polished shaft. He's hidden under the shadow of his hand. In his quiver as it hid him. He will never know a better yesterday. What kills great men will not kill him. What stops others will not stop him. God is a wall of fire around about you, and the glory in your midst. As you water us, may God water you. In Jesus' mighty name. Just one more, please. Let's invest some. I was in Antigua. The government of Antigua invited me to blow and sing over their land. Big people. Do you know who they asked me for? Do you know who they listened to? It was a Selman. Government officials. I have my friends, my American friends. Mike Astampley said to me, Mike Astampley is a pastor of a church. He says, do you know who my pastor is? I listen to Apostle Selman. I go around the world. Listen, listen. So, I know that they say a prophet is without honor. Say, not in this house. So. No way. He's my friend. You can ask him. We chat, but I don't receive him as my friend. So God is giving me some spiritual sense. I don't receive a man of God as my pally. No. When he's here, that's a prophet. When he's done, we can chat. We can do. That's one of my secrets. Just one more. That God will add grace upon grace. We use him as a point of contact to those he's raised from this nation. Grace will abound in Apostle Selman's life. The Bible says of Abraham that he was blessed in all things. That no area of his life will have a question mark. Open your mouth and pray. Fathers, we have spoken in your ears, and so shall it be in Jesus' name. Do you know, as he prayed and as I stood there, it made sense why we wore this black when he spoke about Ichabod. That's the reason we did that prophetic act. That whatever speaks of shame, darkness in the lives of God's people, because he carries that revelation as he has spoken it. God has clothed people here with grace and glory. Yeah. Lift your hands and thank God.